The following interview was first aired on TBC Radio in Kingston, Jamaica. For more information on this and other interviews, please visit the Facebook page, Connect Pray Act, or send an email to connect.pray.act@gmail.com.
Listeners, welcome back to Morning Joy Special Edition, and we're pleased to have online Mr. Lonnie Poindexter, founder and president of the Lion Chasers Network, an association of faith-based organizations and activist clergy mobilized to speak on the issues of the day that are negatively impacting the USA. And you may recall that Mr. Poindexter was our guest last December. He was a guest speaker at the International Human Rights Day rally at Emancipation Park on December 10th. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, Miss Davies. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Sounds like we've got a bad connection here. I'm having a little difficulty hearing you.
Okay, are you hearing me now?
I hear you now.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for making time for us. Lonnie, we just wanted to talk to get your perspectives on the shooting last weekend in Orlando. And first, we just want to express our deepest condolence for this most unfortunate occurrence and loss of life of your fellow citizens.
Yeah, it's truly a sad affair for us here in America. The tragic events in Orlando where 49 lives were lost and 53 others injured, and some still clinging to life. And we need prayers for them as well because of the actions of one individual who claims affiliation and affinity for radical Islam as a radical Islamic terrorist.
Mm. But the incident also raises again the age-old problem of easy access to guns and weak controls. Is gun control going to happen, or will it just be a talk just for talk's sake in the USA?
In my opinion, it's an ongoing battle. It's not going to subside because you've got two camps here in the U.S. One camp seems to not understand what the Founding Fathers put in place in America with the Constitution, with our Second Amendment rights, and are looking to drive an agenda to disarm America. And those who have a good understanding of their constitutional rights take exception to that. And so those are where the battle lines lie. It's really interesting in that when you think about this tragic incident in Florida, if someone had been armed and had a concealed carry permit in Florida, maybe lives could have been saved. You had one individual who I believe was an off-duty law enforcement officer who happened to be there, but if he had had a little bit more help, there'd been a whole lot of lives that would have been changed. There's a false narrative in America that law enforcement is the first responder and protector of your rights to live and live in peace in your nation. But what we have today is a failure of that. If you were reading the Post in media about this tragic event, the FBI interviewed this individual, some reports say, three different times, and in some kind of way he fell off the radar and was taken off the watch list, and then you have these tragic events unfold.
The thing is, there was a report, an article in CNN about a 2016 report called Public Mass Shooters and Firearms, a cross-national study of 171 countries, and the author, Professor Adam Langford, said, while the U.S. has 5% of the world's population, there are more public mass shootings in the U.S. than any other country in the world, 31%. And then the copycat phenomenon is more acute in the U.S. because guns are more accessible than in other countries. Access to firearms is a significant predictor of these incidents. And then gun sales often skyrocket after mass shootings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's inaccurate data that they're providing, which drives the agenda which they seek here in the state. You know, here's something that was posted by Abraham Hamilton, who is the public policy analyst for American Family Association. In fact, he will be on my radio show later on this morning, and he wanted to point something out where they're touting this as the largest act of gun violence in the history of America, and that's not actually true. And let me just read one of his quotes. He says, in 1919, in the Jim Crow South, which was controlled by Dixiecrats or Democrats, 200 blacks were massacred and several others were arrested simply because they met in a black church to discuss how they could stop their white landlords from cheating them out of their cotton crops. No one was arrested, tried, or convicted in that particular event. 2 years later, in May 1921, 300 blacks were murdered, 800 others were wounded, and 6,000 were arrested when whites went on a killing spree after the Tulsa Tribune newspaper released a front-page article falsely claiming that a black man raped a white woman. Now, I mentioned these, and there's actually a third event as well that took place the year later in Rosewood, where 100 blacks were killed. I mention that because all three of those incidents is not something that this agenda that wants to push back on gun rights in America wants to come to the forefront, because all three of those incidents were carried out by the Democrat Party back during the early part of this nation's history. So they want to tout that which pushes the LGBT agenda and not state the facts of what's taking place in this nation's history as it relates to gun violence.
Let me also add, though, that easy access within the states has effects beyond the borders of the USA. It also affects us in Jamaica and the Caribbean, where we have serious, serious problems with access and use of guns and ammunition. So it's not just a debate within the USA. It's also about what happens outside.
Yes, and I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry. I can't make out what you're saying. We must be on a really good topic, because I've learned that the enemy does show up and try to thwart good conversation on truth.
Right. All right, let me move on. Maybe you can hear this one to say that some of the other facts, you highlighted some of the other facts surrounding the incident in Orlando, controversial, but have been politicized, the fact of him being a Muslim, expressing affiliation with ISIS, and the fact of the venue being a homosexual nightclub, and then even the question about whether the shooter himself was gay or hated gays. But the debates that have been happening overseas and here, it seems to be there's no limit to how these other facts are being exploited. Have you seen them going overboard, the general debate? Milani?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Right. So did you want to make a comment, though, about the gun control problem extending beyond the borders of the USA and then the over-politicization of some of the facts from the Orlando shooting?
You know, the gun control issue in the U.S. is tied to, and maybe some folks don't see it this way, but those of us that work in this every day understand the direct connection, is really a Trojan horse. The core issue is to silence the church. It's to push back on religious freedoms. And so they use the gun issue, and then Christians here in the U.S. who happen to be Second Amendment proponents are viewed as being out of touch, as being insensitive, and that it's for our own protection. But, you know, it's a big nation we have. We have 330-some-odd million people here. And as I state all the time on my show, that, you know, you are the first responder in incidents of crimes taking place against your person. And then law enforcement is the second responder. Just the sheer size of our nation, the fact that you can drive for miles and not see anything in certain parts of the state, law enforcement they could not hire enough law enforcement personnel to keep people safe the way they want to. Secondly, we have some core issues revolving around the ideology that states that in America that, and I'm searching here for words here because this issue is very touching for me in light of what's taking place down there. They're using this particular issue as a political football to take the eye off the core issues. Is what are we going to do about foreign policy? In the case of our president, is abysmal foreign policy that causes problems in the rest of the world. You know, like what you're dealing with there down in your nation, where the Jamaican people have the good common sense to maintain sodomy laws and also abortion being illegal there, and then here policy from the U.S. Trying to be force-fed on you, and I guess the case in point would be what's taking place there at the U.S. Embassy in Jamaica.
Right. In terms of that over-politicization of the venue being or a homosexual lobby and the majority of the victims being LGBT persons, it is said. I note that online that there are persons who have gone on to say on social media that Christians are complicit in the atrocity, alleging that our words have helped to create an atmosphere that demeans and dehumanizes gays, thereby leading to their murder. A CNN commentator tweeted, "You either support the dignity and equal treatment of all LGBT people, or you support their systematic dehumanization." They're making linkages with Christians standing for same-sex marriage or not agreeing with gay lifestyles and what happened in Orlando. Can we more expect more backlash on the Christian church?
Yes, and here's something that's ironic. You know, that's what's going for. Yet the Christian community has shown in support and caring for and prayer for the individuals that were killed, their families, and also those that were injured there in Orlando. Case in point, Chick-fil-A is a nationwide chain of fast food restaurants who sell chicken sandwiches in America, and it's a Christian company. Chick-fil-A lowered their flag at their restaurants, number one. Number two, made food and beverages and so forth available to the families of the victims and those that were injured. And in addition, the American people show up in droves, standing in line to give blood, to help those, because they have a shortage of certain types of blood types for those that were injured and currently in surgery. None of that made the news. Mm-hmm. Only the Christian news sources covered that. The mainline news services in America did not even touch those things.
Yes. Appreciating that the real issue here is the loss of lives and the tragic loss of lives, and not losing that fact, and that their persons are mourning. And as you're saying, the Christian community reaching out and showing compassion and comfort and standing by persons at this difficult time. Well, what else is the temperature in Washington about this shooting incident?
Well, the temperature in Washington is obviously everyone is saddened by this event, but it's turned into political fodder. And depending on what side of the aisle that you're on, are the viewpoints that are coming forth. It's being used as a wedge to help drive gun legislation, increase gun legislation in the United States of America. America, the way the nation is set up, I mean, we're 50 states that have individual rights and powers, and states' rights should prevail. The federal side of things should only come into play, in my opinion, when it comes to protecting the overall goodwill of the nation. Protect us against those who have ill will towards us, like the terrorists who are trying to wipe America off the face of the earth. Those are the battle lines that are being drawn. And so the people of faith in America are standing up and pushing back on this agenda. It's an anti-God agenda. Ultimately, all these issues, be it the homosexual agenda issue, be it the gun rights issue, are all Trojan horses to push back on the church and to affect, demobilize, and defang the church and drive the church underground. If they can accomplish that in America, my humble opinion is they'll be able to do pretty much what they want in the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. I want to apologize just as an American to the people of Jamaica for what our foreign State Department is doing with what's taking place with the embassy there in the United States. It's disrespectful to the proud people of Jamaica, to your attorney general, your prime minister, and the rest of the good, hardworking people in that wonderful country.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Lonnie. Thank you very much. And just to underline that listeners, Jamaicans, and Christians especially, to really understand the issues and not to misread what is happening. It's a tragedy, and we are mourning that fact. But to understand that there are political overtones that have been taken out of bounds with this incident, and that we need to separate those two issues in how we understand and analyze what is happening currently.
I agree 100%. You've heard of the executive order recently by our president that would require that public school systems in America all accommodate transgender or gender-confused individuals so that grown men can walk into women's restrooms, putting women and young girls at risk. The battle lines are clear, and I never thought in my short time on this earth that we would be battling such nonsense. Common sense people are pushing back. The faith-based community which is where common sense emanates, is taking a stand, finally beginning to stand up, because, you know, the Christian community has been largely asleep on these issues, because I don't think anyone thought it was going to get this bad, but we have to do something now. We are standing up.
Right, right. Well, thanks so much, Lonnie, for making time with us and that we could connect and get your perspectives on what's happening over there in the USA.
Well, thank you so much. Please give my regards to your wonderful team of valiant warriors in the good fight of faith there. God bless you.
Thanks so much. God bless as well.
Thank you for listening. Send your comments and questions to connect.pray.act@gmail.com. Visit the Facebook page, Connect Pray Act, for more information.